The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
We're speaking this morning on knowledge power for fruitfulness in ministry. Knowledge power for fruitfulness in ministry. Let us pray. Father, I ask as we go into your word that you will teach us. By your spirit, minister to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Let none of us live here without being touched in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The summary is in the booklet before us, but you may wish to take down the references. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 8. Daniel 11:32, Hosea 4:6, and Proverbs 1:22. Knowledge power for fruitfulness. Everybody wants to be fruitful. No farmer wants to plant and not get any return. And when people say, you reap what you sow, I say, no, you don't reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. Because if it is what you are sowing that you are reaping, is only in the type, not in the quantity. You sow corn, you reap corn. You sow purple, you reap purple. But it's not the grain of corn that you sow that you reap. If it is the grain of corn that you sow that you reap, might as well just eat it. So, what makes some fruitful and not others? In Matthew chapter 13, we have the story, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, verse 8. He said, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. All of them yielded. All of them were fruitful, but there is a level in fruitfulness. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Some yielded 30, some yielded 60, others yielded 100. The question is, what level are you yielding? They said, fell on good ground. So all of them were on good ground. But there was a difference in the level of their fruitfulness, the yieldedness. Some yielded more and others less. The question is why? It is the way you nurtured your good ground. 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge. Verse 8. It says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't add knowledge to your virtue, if you don't add virtue to your faith, while you are a Christian, you are not likely to be fruitful. He says, if you add these things, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. So, fruitfulness is a product of investment. And one of the investments you can make is in knowledge. If you fail to add knowledge, you are likely to be fruitful, but your level will be very low. I pray that we'll not be operating at a mediocre level in life in Jesus' name. You know, we said that knowledge is power, right? They said knowledge is light. Knowledge gives power. Knowledge gives light. But it is when you are knowledgeable that you can impact others. Knowledge empowers, knowledge enlightens. You cannot do without light. You cannot do without power in the gospel ministry and in life generally. If you see anybody in life
who doesn't add knowledge to himself, he will be operating at a level that remains low. When people are not growing, you ask them what is happening, because they are not increasing their knowledge. And knowledge is related to finding God, particularly for us. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. He says, they will call upon me, but I will not answer. That will not be your story. Say, they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge. Or what does it say in your Bible? That because you hate knowledge, if you seek God, you may not find him. That will not be our story in this ministry. And he said, you did not choose the way of the Lord because you don't even know the way. It is the person that knows the way that can choose it. And that knowledge is what? It's in the word of God. And if you don't make any efforts to distill it, I'm sorry, you are wasting your time. Knowledge in the ministry is like being prepared for the work ahead. You cannot go into an assignment without preparing. Some things must not catch you by surprise. You know, last Sunday, I arrived at the church at 9:20, about 9:25. And one, I traveled, I just came back, and I was tired. And because it was Senior Citizens Week, I said, the pastor could not have placed me on the program, so let me just... Lo and behold, inside the church, I opened my phone. I saw that I was on the program. And the program was already gone. I was supposed to take the water consultation. The pastor said, you put me in trouble this morning. She has sent the thing to me weeks before. I never saw it. But where am I going? She was not caught by surprise. I wasn't there, but she was able to take the subject. Why? Because she was prepared. It's not when you are going to teach that you start preparing. You will have prepared long before. May 8, 1993, when I got married, we got to First Square in Yaba headquarters. They told me who is going to preach. I said, yeah, the preacher in church. I went to daddy. Till today, some of those who were in that church were still referring to that message, which he wasn't prepared to do. Why? Because he was prepared long. What am I saying? It's not at the point that you are going to minister that you start preparing. You will have acquired knowledge over the years. God will help us in Jesus' name. So, all human knowledge is dependent on who? God. And let me answer your question before you even ask it. He said, 1 Corinthians, he said, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge does not puff up if it is godly knowledge. Knowledge puffs up because it is not derived from God. It is the knowledge of the word that puffs up, not the knowledge you derive from the gospel. So, don't even go there that knowledge puffs up. When Jesus Christ was in the world, he was sustained by his knowledge of the word. And when the temptations came, he was able to respond to the devil by quoting the scriptures properly. You know, the devil will try to distort the gospel for you. He distort the word. But if you know the truth, he shall do what? He shall set you free. You'll not be in bondage in Jesus' name. But if your knowledge is shallow, you are likely to be shallow yourself. And your ministry is highly unlikely to be productive. So, why should ministers acquire knowledge? Let's go back to that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? And to virtue what? Verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be a fruitful minister, faith is not enough. In fact, if you don't have faith, you can't even be a minister in the first instance. So don't tell me you have faith. All of us are supposed to have faith. Because if you don't have faith, you don't even belong in this place. You know, in the university, their promotion guidelines says if you want to, that there's a mark for PhD, there's a mark for master's, there's a mark for first degree. That's a waste of time. We can't appoint you a lecturer if you don't have a first degree. So why should I give you mark for having the basic qualification? They said, you want to become a professor, if you have a PhD, 10 marks. I said, you can't even be a senior lecturer if you don't have a PhD. So why should I give you mark for having a PhD? So why should I give you mark for having faith if you want to be a pastor? I don't know whether that makes any sense. If you don't have faith, you don't belong in the first instance. So if you have faith, there are other things you must add to it. And one of them is what? It's knowledge. Many of us, we operate with zeal. Zeal. We are zealous for God. But zeal is not enough. You also need knowledge. Zeal is required. If you don't have zeal, you won't come here as a start. If you don't have zeal, you won't be cleaning the seat yourself. If you don't have zeal, you will not deny yourself of breakfast to come to this place. But I tell you, zeal is what? It's not enough. It is good, it is required, but it's not enough. You need to accompany your zeal with what? With knowledge. Every member who is here, every member of a congregation are supposed to have faith. We're supposed to be believers in Jesus Christ because that is what has brought all of us together. Romans 10, verse 1. Say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have zeal, but not according to knowledge. And what was the consequence? He said, they established their own righteousness, which is not the righteousness of God. When you don't have knowledge, you have zeal, you may be doing the wrong thing, thinking that you are doing it for God. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Because they lack the required knowledge, they established their own righteousness and failed to submit to God. So, the first primary thing is that without knowledge, your faith is shaky. Because you may be doing the wrong thing, thinking that you are serving God. Number two, as ministers, as pastor, as deacon, as leader, as unit leader, we need more than superficial knowledge or superficial understanding of the scriptures. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and adding, read the prophet Esaias and said, underline that in your Bible if you are carrying the physical Bible. Understand thou what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he will come up and sit with him. That Ethiopian eunuch, many of us are like him. We are reading, but we don't understand. But we are not humble enough like him to admit that we don't understand. So, we use bold face in the church. When our members ask us questions, we don't understand and we can't even be humble enough to ask. You know, I tell people, if you go out to evangelize and they ask you a difficult question, don't try to answer. Tell them, I'll go home and ask and I'll come and give you the answer tomorrow. Because it's better you come back with the answer tomorrow than to tell them the wrong thing that they will take you up the following day. Many of us, we don't understand. We have superficial knowledge of the gospel, of the Bible. So, when you see some references in the New Testament that were quoting from the Old, you assume, hey, Bible is sharp. It's because you don't even understand what you are reading. It's not enough to be using boldface. I'm a lagidi. But I think Shewasu. If you don't have understanding, you'll be seeing witches and wizards where they don't exist. In this town, I know of at least one or two pastors who have broken up people's homes who call because they call the wife witch. Chimokwaro. He said, your wife is a witch, you must divorce her. Is that written in the Bible? Many times we mislead people because we don't even understand the scripture ourselves. We have zeal, but it's more than zeal. Don't mislead your people, I beg you. Number three, lack of knowledge can destroy a minister. Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord has come as an indictment against the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. My people are what? Destroyed for all. You will not be destroyed. Diligence is good. Oh, you must be diligent, you must be hardworking, you must be devoted, you must be committed, you must make sacrifice. But it must be aimed in the right direction. In the right direction. You know the story of Uzzah, right? The man was trying to help God, the ark of God. You know the story, right? 1 Chronicles 1, chapter 15, verse 13. This is what David said. Because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to his rule. If you don't know the rules of God, you are likely to do the wrong thing. You think you are serving God. Even when your heart is right, it's not an excuse to do the wrong thing. I don't know whether I make any sense to you. Because your heart is right does not excuse your mistakes if it comes to things that God doesn't like. Uzzah was trying to help the ark to prevent it from falling, right? In the normal sense, you say, who could have called Shubu Niu, Abi? But what happened? Because they were disobeying the basic rules that God gave them. Because they never even read it in the first instance. After Joshua, go and read from Judges up. The people had gone astray. They were just doing what they like. They were just misbehaving. Everybody was doing what they like. By the time of many of them have forgotten about the Bible, about the scriptures. You can have a great zeal. Your heart must be right. But if you are not doing what the law of God says, you are likely to be destroyed. And I pray that none of us will be destroyed in Jesus' name. You must do things the God's way to receive the blessings of God. You must submit to God's own righteousness and to God's way of doing things. You must seek him according to knowledge. See, my people go into captivity. That's Isaiah 5:13. Because they have no knowledge. They go into captivity because they have no knowledge. Number four, partaking in the provisions of God requires knowledge, wisdom, and revelation. Ignorance of the word of God, ignorance of the provisions of God, is not an excuse for a contemporary minister. Why? Because you can deprive yourself, your people, your congregation of the blessings of God. Because if you don't even know what the blessings of God have been provided by God, how do you convey it to them? How do you help them to enjoy the blessings of God? How do you help them to benefit from the gospel? How do you expect them to benefit from the provisions that God has made? The extent to which we benefit from the gospel is dependent on the extent to which we know it. If you don't know it, you are not likely to exploit it. It is what you know that you utilize. The more of the knowledge of God that we have, the more we're able to partake and to enjoy the blessings it has provided. Our congregations can only benefit from the knowledge they are aware of. If they are not aware, they are not likely to benefit from it. Let's run. Number 5. Deliverance is received through knowledge. Deliverance is received through knowledge. Proverbs 11 verse 9. Proverbs 11 verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be what? Delivered. You will be delivered. You know, it may sound strange. Some people are not getting the best. Not because they are not praying. Not because they don't love God. But because they are not even aware of the provisions that God has made for them. Jesus said, you do err because you don't know the scriptures. You are making mistakes because you don't know the word of God. When people lack accurate information, when people lack the relevant information from God's word, they may experience defeat, they may experience failure. Not because they're not righteous, but because they don't even know what they do. And finally, number 6, if you have knowledge, there will be a difference in your life. And people around you, particularly your congregation, we notice it and they will pay attention. Last year, during the ministers' conference, one of our pastors led the prayer session. When we finished, I went to ask. I went to Pastor Jide, who is that person? I said, that prayer session, I was so blessed. That it was so deep that the things he was saying that was leading us was just too much. He said, I'm not surprised. I won't tell you the person. I'm sure he's there. I then found out that apart from his regular work, he had gone to Bible school. He had gone to do Bachelor of Divinity. He has a Master of Divinity. I said, oh, no wonder. So I told her, Ejo, help me add him to the teachers in the Board of Christian Education. People will notice. People around you will notice if your knowledge level is going up. They will see the impact in your ministration. They will see the impact in the way you live your life. They will see the impact in the way you deliver to others. I pray that you not be operating at medical level all the time in Jesus' name. You know, remember the case of Peter. Peter was what? A fisherman. Peter, James, John, Andrew. What are they doing? The educated ones among them. Matthew, the publican. Judas, the educated ones among them. And you can't compare the level of Peter with those ones eventually. For Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. People will marvel at you. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When were you with Jesus Christ? When you dwell in God's presence, there's supposed to be a difference in your life. People are supposed to see it. Even the people in this community, the Pharisees and the leaders of the temple, of the synagogue, they noticed that Peter and John had been with Jesus Christ. When your knowledge increases, people will notice. The knowledge of God's word will build you up and deliver you. and deliver unto you your God-given inheritance. So, at the end of the day, if you are still operating with reading just your KJV Bible and nothing else, there's something wrong somewhere. Now, part two. Knowledge, power, and ministry in contemporary times. Knowledge, power today. Every pastor today, every minister of the gospel today, must make efforts to stay current or lose the edge in effectiveness. If you are not increasing your knowledge, if you are not current, if you are not developing, you will lose the edge in effectiveness. Some people start very well. I won't mention names. There are ministries in this town that started long before us. If I mention their names, say, oh, that's true. The ministry was there. But where are they today? Changing times and dynamics dictate that the minister must respond if he's to get the message across. Yes, the Bible is the same. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. But if you are reading your Bible every year and you are not getting new knowledge, there's something wrong. You must learn something new. Each time you read the Bible, there must be something new. Many of the things happening in today's world are already predicted in the scripture. When? In Isaiah, they say, who seeks over the circles of the earth? At the time, the scientists were arguing, is the world square? Is the world rectangle? God already told us in the Bible that the world is what? Round. It's in your Bible. If you remain without improving your knowledge, you will not be responding to changes in the contemporary society. Our gospel message cannot change, but the way of delivering it must respond to dynamics of the changing times. It will be a mistake on the part of any minister to assume that the ways of presenting the gospel are unchangeable. No. If you think that it's the way you presented it last year that you present it this year, you will lose your congregation. Because many of them have moved ahead. Your people will not leave you behind. See, your people will not leave you behind. By the time your members don't trust you, by the time they know more than you, there's a problem. I don't know whether I make any sense. If I can't look up to my pastor to learn, then there's a problem. Number two. Educational qualifications, educational knowledge, and spirituality are not mutually exclusive. It's possible to be educated and be knowledgeable in the scriptures and be spiritually sound. Indeed, for me, ignorance is not an evidence of spirituality. Because you are ignorant does not mean you are more spiritual than us. It shows that you are not educating yourself. You know, my father said, "Enti o kawe, that's a way we okogbon. Iwe kogbon. To entoba logbon, toba kawe, toba logbon ko ni dales inu dojo odo. And block the drainage. It is lack of knowledge. Are you saying that the educated ones among us are not spiritually sound? Now that DJ is a medical doctor. Now DJ is a professor. AGO, AGO 1, AGO 2, all of them, they are well educated. Are they not spiritual? Yes or yes? Can you compare Redeemed Church in the days of Baba Akinde Ayomi with Redeemed Church under Baba Adeboye? They never went beyond the Butetta and Lorin and other places now. But now, Redeem is where? Everywhere in the world. Knowledge makes a difference. Pastor Kumuyi, is he not educated? Is he spiritual? Yes or no? Are you more spiritual? dankumuyi eh en to ba wa moto da la lo ju titana ti pa life lele ti wa a lo gentle gentle bi babe olukoya as a PhD in molecular biology. Because you are educated does not mean you are not spiritual. Emma foju te awon to kawe. Pastor Naomi, is he a professor or not? Our former DGO, Pastor Ajay. Because somebody is educated does not mean it's not spiritual. God is not limited to use anybody. But he only uses people that are not trainable. The two most important people in the scriptures that I know, Moses and Paul, were the best educated people of their time. The two people who wrote most books of the Bible, Moses and Paul, were educated. Moses was educated in the law of the land. He was knowledgeable. He was brought up in the palace, trained. He was being prepared for the throne. He was already away for, 40 years in the wilderness. Where was it that was the one that God went to pick? He was selected for the assignment. Similarly, Paul was selected for the assignment. There were 12 disciples that followed Jesus Christ. Where was Paul, the one that was sent to the Gentiles? After Acts chapter 8 or 9, we never had again of Peter and Co. in the Bible. The book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter that were written by Peter, people still doubted. They said, a fisherman cannot write the Greek that is of this standard. So, even if you told Jeje, when you were called to walk away, I had a student around 2003, when the civilian people came. Old man, no. I said, excuse me, Claire, why she's school? Anybody like Bini? It was a politician. But I'm campaign. Don't go with me. I'm going to make a way. I want to win it. When you finish a commissioner, I'm going to make a way. Today, I'm going to say, you are laughing. You will not be cheated. You will not be denied of your rights. He said they were denying him of his rights because he was not educated. Only in a degree, pay militia commissioner. Okay. And then I remembered, what was his name? Was it Robodu? Eh? Kamile Mioje. Finance in Isiwa. You know the story? Those of you who are old enough. Like your boy like it. And go to the chairman board. And you know, come in a new deal. Financing is you. So. Amen. What we are saying is that knowledge does not make you a non-spiritual person. In fact, it helps you to grow. Number three, as a minister, you have to solve real life problems. And the problems confronting your congregation keeps changing. The nature of the problems people are facing keep changing. The decisions they have to make keep changing. If you don't have knowledge of the problem people are facing, how do you advise them? How do you persuade people to come to you to seek counseling? You know, if your member cannot come to you when he wants to take critical decisions, that means they don't trust you. Your member suddenly comes to church the following Sunday and say he's married and you didn't know. It's either that member is lost, or you have lost the confidence of that member, meaning that you cannot advise this person. If you cannot, if your member cannot trust you for counseling, there's a problem. My name is Anakomitito. So let me quickly run. The blind cannot be leading the blind. It's not just enough to have oratorical power, to be able to speak well. Many of us can speak very big words. And let me pause and say this. Many times we make claims that are not biblical or justifiable in the scriptures. And some of the songs we sing, I'm sorry, we need to be careful. Olorun gbogbo fole. Olorun gbogbo fole. Olorun ti gbogbo fole. Eh? He says he gives strength to the weak. The weak is not lazy. Many times we confuse words and we begin to justify our idleness and indolence. Call on Google for Lemmy. Ole. Go to the ants. You lazy. The Bible does not encourage laziness. Call on Google for Lemmy. Nibo. I'm not calling any of you. Everyone helps those who help themselves. Why is he reading your Bible? You should like bara, konek bala. But not cause. And you'll be saying it in front of the people. And the two man be minuju. Konora milo. Odifapo bibi Jesu. Egulani kenyi bale. Say Jesu legu. There's some things that if the world is saying it, we should not be partaking in it. How do you equate Jesus Christ with masquerades? And you say it, and you bring the mic, and you are singing in this place, telling us. The changing nature of our congregation requires that we must continually update ourselves. Some years ago, we started the youth churches, right? Because many of our leaders are not connecting with them. Sadly, and that's the case, we're not connecting with them. We have upwardly mobile new people, people who are tech savvy. Google. Go to sort of teacher, hello, Google. Now, what am I saying? You must be able to flow along with your congregation, know the kind of things that will help you to be able to minister to them. Hello? Many of our pastors, they still preach against the electronic Bible. Hey, bring your Bible to church. Not your phone. Don't bring this thing. Foolishness. I'm sorry. Let me bring a Bible. Just a Bible. Is this the original Bible? Go and read. Parchments. If we are all using the original Bible, only the Jew will have a Bible in this ministry. Why? Because of one of you call. Technology continues to improve. As the printing knowledge came, we started having the Bible available to everybody. With technology improvement, the access to the scripture is easier and better. Now you go to your church. I was watching a program this week. Was it last week? John Mude at Lokoja, no? Yeah. I was in Lokoja. And the pastor was holding the Bible like this. This is the Bible. This is also the Bible. I have about 100 Bibles on this thing. Or more, self. 3 Yoruba Bibles are here. Or 4. Bibeli Mimo. Bibeli Yoruba Lede Oni. 3 different translations of the Yoruba Bible. And Greek Bible, Concordance, everything is there. Is it easier for me to carry this? Or carry Pastor Adebayo, Eba Migbe, Materi Edide? Now, how many of us have materialists? No, it's okay. Just, this is materialist Bible. Now, it's commentary, and that is the version that was produced. Original one was about 12 volumes. Timbanja de me lo mu fe gbe lowo. I bought this one in 1998 for £17.99. I was in England. Gbesile. E ba mi shi. Pe lo le ka nbe. The kilo ruko e. The print is so small. I have the same materials on this thing. If I'm traveling, I try to take as many things as possible. But now I don't even have to take a single of them. I just carry my tablet. And if the tablet is lost, I'll go and buy another one. I'll download everything on it. I bought that one, £17.99. The electronic version, $1.99. Less than 1,500 naira. And it's more useful for me. So, what I'm saying is this. Please, upgrade yourself. Don't preach against things that make it easier for us to learn the gospel. Okay. Give me 2-3 minutes. What kind of knowledge do we need? Should we go in? Number one, deep knowledge of the word of God. Get Bible commentaries. Get the concordance. Get the dictionary. Know different translations. Sometimes I use the Yoruba Bible to understand the English. And sometimes the other way around. I have Yoruba, I have English. Know the translation that best projects the message you want to put across. There are some translations that are difficult. All this, thou goeth, doeth of KJV. It's not more spiritual. That was the way they used to speak English at that time. That's not the way Jesus spoke. He went up. That was the way they were speaking. Jesus Christ did not speak English language. So he went up. Awalakobe. Number two. Let's learn the doctrines. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take it to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Understand the basic doctrines. Please, as you grow in the ministry, as you are developing, learn the doctrines. Salvation, sanctification, redemption, deliverance, adoption, restitution. Many of us don't know the difference. We don't even know the meaning at all. The sacraments, propitiation, grace, deliverance, reconciliation, adoption, new birth, baptism of the Holy Spirit. All these are things that you need to know and digest internally. Then you can teach others. Fasting. What are the types of fasting? Complete fasting, absolute fasting, partial fasting, Daniel fasting. You know Daniel fasting? You know the fasting of King Cyrus and Chloroquine? He fasted all night. You must know the difference. Absolute fast. Dry fast. One of the people that mentored me when I got to this church, when I got to the ministry. Omole. 40 days. Non-stop. No water, no food. When you bring to back pare. He didn't die. But you must know the difference. When I bang by 40 days, come on, mommy. I'm going to say, do you know why? Go and find out. What kind of fasting is recognized in the scripture? You must know it. You must be able to teach your people. Know about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ministry gift, service gift. Know the difference. Know about the ministries in the church. Ministries in the ministry. Prison ministries, evangelism. Know the different ministries. so that you are not caught by surprise. Know about homiletics, how to preach, how to write your sermon, how to deliver your sermon. Know about church growth principles, evangelism, church planting, crusade, revival. Know about all these things. So that when they ask you questions, you can answer them while you are doing it. Know about strategic planning, change management in the church. Because things are changing. You can't be rigid and standing on the same spot. Know about the cultures of your environment while you are preaching. Know the language. You know, when Ibadoro started, Pastor Ajayi called us, said, "You are ministering in a predominantly Yoruba community. Go and learn the language." At that time, and I consciously tried, there were times if the Yoruba teacher does not show up in the church, I take the Yoruba class. I was able to teach it. Because I try to immerse myself in the culture. Thank you, sir. Know the character of your congregation, their values, and how best to reach them, things that matter to them. Learn, know how to manage relationships. Relationship with your fellow ministers. Relationship with your subordinates. Relationship with your superiors in the ministry. Relationship with other denominations. We must know all these things. There was a time there was this citywide crusade in Ife, Tashini Stadium. And we'll go be one by Pelu Pella or more Pella. Now, something I found very interesting. I've not forgotten. When we finished, you know, those who gave their lives, now she meet Mama Queen and convert. Kerubu no la fe gba ti won sele la fe gba convert ti won be. You must know how to relate with other denominations, otherwise they may make your job difficult. And God will continue to give that the wisdom, because I know that he was able to tolerate all those things. I'm sure he wouldn't want to give a convert to sele to go and follow up. But you must be able to manage relationships. Have knowledge on how to lead and build up your members. Leadership development. Team building. Build people. So that when you are not around, you won't be missed. Conflict management. Change management. How to handle crisis. Learn how to manage your health. How to lead the people. To avoid burnout. Knowledge of financial management. Financial management principles. Fundraising for the ministry work. Basic accounting. Accountability in the church. Resource management. Come on, church, bear it, babe. Any question about how you are spending their money, you must be able to answer them. I'm accountable to God. Yes, you're accountable to God. We're also accountable to your people. Know about the basic laws that affect the church, so that I don't run foul of the law. Know how to conduct meetings. Let me close. How do you acknowledge church? Number one, study. Study to show yourself. Study. Is it be diligent? Study. That's number one. Number two, abide. Abide in the presence of God. You know, John chapter 8, verse 31. You know, we like to quote this scripture. You shall know the truth. And what? But how do you know the truth? Let's go to that John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth." It is if you abide in God's presence that you can know the truth. If you are not dwelling in his presence, you cannot know the truth. Mary and Martha, one was busy cooking, one was busy learning from the feet of Jesus. This one has taken what really mattered. It's abiding in God's presence. Number three, undergo professional programs. Look, there's no shortcut to knowledge acquisition. You must invest. Mental growth is very important. Enroll in a program. The pastor I mentioned a few minutes ago was a pastor when he went to do BA theology, divinity, then masters. Why will his ministration not be different? Undergo professional programs. Undertake courses. Castaway Bible College is there. Enroll. Register. You won't go. There's correspondence study. Take advantage of part-time programs. Register the national. There are things you can do to improve your knowledge. Partake in programs like this. Enrichment programs like this. Be there. Number four, invest in new knowledge. Invest your money. Invest your time. Invest your resources. If you want to be a fruitful minister, you cannot be stingy with yourself. I remember the time there was a program in Ibadan some years ago. Akura Walola TB, so that I can get Bibles there and free literature. But I didn't want to take my time. I bought one study Bible, NIV study Bible. I still have it today. Invest. Spend time. Travel. When you have to. Go for a retreat. If you want to be a fruitful minister, you must be ready to invest your resources, your time. The first person you must develop is yourself before you can develop your members. Attend renewal programs. Retreat, short-term courses offered by different Bible-believing organizations, including our own. Get on the internet. It doesn't scare people. You choose to see what you want to see on the internet. Information is there that will help you, that will build you up, that will help you to become a better minister. It's the easiest way of finding knowledge on the things that matter. Number seven, pray for it. Proverbs 2:6-7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. Pray for it. God has it and he will give you. And finally, utilize what you have learned. When you learn, use. When you use, you sharpen. You improve. And I pray that we shall be better ministers, we shall be fruitful, we shall be productive in Jesus' name. Yeah. Let us pray. Our Father, I ask that you will expand your word in our hearts. Teach us better. Make us better. Make us fruitful in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for all of us here that we shall not be barren ministers in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father and our God. In Jesus' name we pray.